This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. All right, today is Wednesday, December 29th. We are right smack in the middle of what we call holiday week, the last week of the year. Traditionally, a pretty quiet time for all markets. Of course, maybe not so quiet in the precious metals as we've seen today, but more on that later. It's good, interesting way to end what has been an interesting year. And I thought to kind of get some perspective on that outside of what you always hear from me, I thought I'd bring in a different guest today. So with me is Lior Gantz. Many of you are familiar with Lior. He is founder of WealthResearchGroup.com and just a great analyst and someone who is well-respected and somebody I always like to get his perspective on where things are and where they're going. So Lior, thank you for joining me. And hey, ahead a couple of days from now, Happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
I tell you what, my friend, it has been some kind of interesting year. But before we get to that, tell everybody a little bit about your day job and what is WealthResearchGroup.com?
WealthResearchGroup.com is a free financial newsletter, which you can sign up for easily on the homepage. And what it aims to do is take everything that I'm learning about the markets and doing myself and putting it in a very bite-sized type articles and alerts that go out on a newsletter. And the point of it is to make sure that it congests 6 to 8 hours of information into a 5-minute read.
Which is valuable, no doubt about that, because who has 6 to 8 hours to do their research, right? I mean, I tell people this all the time too. If you're in really any kind of equities, but particularly the mining sector, I mean, you need all of the help you can get, because who has time and who has the expertise to pour over all, you know, drill results and assays and things like that? You need all the help you can get. And again, we just go to wealthresearchgroup.com. Lior, everything's explained there.
Yes. Also, you can go to wealthresearchgroup.com/portfolio. Mm-hmm. And I actually made my portfolio available for your listeners, Greg. They can literally just enter their information there and access it 24/7.
Perfect. Well, and you know what? If we're right that eventually things begin to move our direction again here in 2022, then again, all the information sources you can have, they're very, very valuable in helping you navigate all this. And this has been, let's start with 2021, because this has been a difficult year to navigate, Lior. Personally, for me, I got a lot of the macro stuff right. I knew there was going to be inflation. I knew the Fed would keep a lid on long-term interest rates, so we'd have sharply negative real rates. Put all that together, and I figured gold would have another good year. And boy, was I wrong. As we speak here on the 29th, gold's down about $100 year to date, even though all that other stuff has happened. How do you wrap up 2021? What do you think was a driving factor to keeping gold, silver, and the mining shares from doing what we thought they would do?
The sector peaked in August of 2020. And at the same day, August 6th, 2020, when gold hit its all-time high, July was the best month for silver in 40 years. The mining shares were doing spectacularly well. The 10-year bond bottomed at 0.5%, and that coincided with very low negative real yields. And at that particular point, the market was starting to both price in a Biden victory, as well as less stimulus because of the upcoming elections. It would be hard to pass anything. And all of these situations back then made the markets think that the punch bowl is going to be far less attractive, that there's going to be far less stimulus going forward. And the market was right. There was only one more stimulus plan in January 2021, and you saw a very real event in the real world that trickled into the markets in January 2021. And that was everything that happened with Wall Street Bets and the subreddit. And to me, at that time, I was assessing the situation that this is a real world cultural event that trickled into the financial markets, same as a Madoff event, same as an Enron event. I thought that this was an event that would change the rest of the year, that it was a peak of sorts. And what could that peak be apart from a peak in growth and high growth and everything that has to do with low inflation trades, trades that work well if inflation is subdued, if inflation is under control, if technology advances are better than are productive and efficient for the economy. And a month later, it did. It peaked. Everything peaked that has to do with low inflation. And what the markets did was start to adjust to the fact that we have now a far more inflationary world than we had before March of 2020. And this will linger on. The question was whether or not this is transitory. And I think that the main question is not whether or not it's transitory, but whether or not, or I'm sorry, how much will we see inflation in the coming years? In other words, transitory means it's not even a word. It means nothing on the big picture. What the only thing that's important is what is the inflation rate, what is the growth rate, in other words, GDP growth, and what the bond market is telling you. And for the remainder of 2021, the fear was that the Fed would act too soon. And because that was the fear, gold and silver performed very badly, because there was always a fear on top of everyone's minds that, hey, the Fed is going to get disgusted with 6.8% CPI. The Fed is going to get aggressive here. The Fed is going to. And when you have that hammer above your head, it's very hard to be bullish on precious metals. That's why they sucked in 2021. But as Biden took Powell and told him, look, my approval ratings are very bad right now. I need you to address the inflationary situation, because while the rich actually like inflation, the average American is having a hard time. You need to address this. So, and especially if you want to get renominated. And that is exactly what happened. And once that happened, and once Powell really addressed how the Fed is looking at inflation, gold has never been down. Since November 22nd, gold and silver are up. And the reason is that we have a plan. We know exactly what the Fed thinks of doing. And what it thinks of doing is 3 rate hikes. Big deal. If the Fed funds rate goes up to 0.75 to 1% next year, and you still have 3 to 3.5% inflation, then they just told you, the Fed just told you, stocks suck because we're going to raise rates on you. We're going to tighten everything. There's going to be a risk-off environment. And at the same time, everything looks dandy for gold and silver, because if we raise 3 times, you're still looking at very negative real yields. So now you have a clear coast for gold and silver and a choppy road for stocks. And that is exactly the 2016 playbook. So yeah. I think in terms of how it's looking for 2022, it's looking really strong. It looks real strong for precious metals, because all of these institutions in Wall Street, and I'll wrap up my answer with that, understand that it wasn't their brilliance that delivered them amazing results. And the reason we know this is because in 2021, whoever made money is the people that just stuck with either the indices or with the top 10 biggest companies in the world, what we call the FANG plus the other five, basically, you know, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Netflix, Meta, which is Facebook, JP Morgan, Berkshire, Adobe, Nvidia, and that's it. Yeah. Those are the companies that pulled forward all the gains.
Yep.
If you take those 10 out, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are actually down for 2021. So people understand it wasn't their brilliance. It was the Fed and the Fed keeping it on. So I think in 2022, a lot of things are looking very bad for the stock market, at least in the first half before the midterms. And for gold and silver, I mean, we know everything we need to know. So if people want to invest in gold and silver, if institutions, the people that really move money, want to invest in gold and silver, they know everything they need to know. So it's now a question of how much they want to hedge and not whether or not they want to hedge. That's the big difference.
Yeah, no, those are excellent points. And that's a lot of what I've been thinking as well. You know, that transitory word really hung over everybody. Like you said, the hedge funds, the institutions, the high net worth folks, everybody that you know, that really buys gold in all its forms, futures contracts included, have been on the fence. Again, believing the transitory thing. Because if inflation is transitory, then the sharply negative real yields are transitory too. But like you said, now that we're getting some clarity on that, and even with potentially 3 rate hikes next year, that's really all they're talking about. And as inflation persists, then all of a sudden it's not so transitory, that dip in real yields. And so you're right. As we go into 22, it makes you feel as if, okay, maybe not some kind of soaring price, but this idea that, you know, we're going to stay here or drift even lower doesn't really fit either. So what are your thoughts? Let's start with the metals, and I want to ask you about the mining shares, but just the metals in general. And again, Lior, what, from 2003 to 2007, the Fed hiked 17 times in a row, once a quarter for 17 quarters, and gold went from 250 to 1,000. So is that kind of environment going to exist again? Is that what we're looking at next year?
The correlation between rate hikes and gold is that the Fed, under the fiat monetary system, has hiked rates 6 times in the early 70s, in the mid 70s to late 70s, in the mid 90s, in the early 2000s, and between 2016 and early 2019. Those 6 times, every time they raise rates from artificially low beginnings, gold is up 100% of the time, and the average gain has been 31%. So let's say they start the rate hike in March and gold is around between 17 and 1800. Yeah, you're talking about new all-time highs for gold by the time they end the rate hike period. So yeah, I think this is a great time for the metals, and especially that we know so much time in advance what the Fed is going to do. And rate hike periods end when the market tells the Fed that it's done enough. It basically tells it, okay, well, if rates are going to keep rising, then we're going to dump stocks, just like it did in December 2018. So until such time, you know you have a clear runway with gold. Now, and this is, I'm talking gold. Now, where does silver come in to the picture? Because silver and gold obviously have not been trading in tandem for years. During the Trump administration, we reached 123-1 on the ratio. So obviously silver as a quasi-industrial, quasi-precious metal has worked differently. Institutional investors, governments, central banks, they only buy gold. It's the only real monetary metal left. And silver is mostly bought by retail investors. And where are the retail investors for silver? Well, in January of 2021, we saw that it started to rumor on Wall Street Bets that they want to short squeeze silver.
Right.
And they saw how impossible it is to short squeeze a commodity. It's just, it's not possible in 2021 to do that in terms of real feasibility, all you do is short squeeze the physical supply. When you go to your dealer, he will sell you for twice what it's selling on the COMEX. That's the only thing you really achieve. But where you can squeeze is the miners. That's where you can do a real short squeeze. If the miners are shorted by Wall Street, you can find out the short interest. There are not many silver miners, especially pure silver miners or silver-focused companies. And there are some that are on the New York Stock Exchange. And if that understanding comes back, especially as the Fed raises rates and there's a weaker dollar in 2022, you're going to see a situation where this can spark investors' attention. And silver is 100% moved by the retail crowd. So I think if you see some of the silver miners starting to move, and if you see silver going towards the 30 an ounce, where a lot of investors start to look at it, because that's where the real resistance is on a technical level, the 29.5 to 30 range. If it breaches that, there's a lot of momentum algorithms that are going to join. It's going to become a very strong trade. In my opinion, there's no reason to speculate on whether or not this happens. In other words, instead of buying silver now at these prices, 23, 23.5, and hoping it reaches 29 so that the resistance can be breached and we move to higher levels, instead of taking all that risk, you can take a leveraged position after it's already done that. In other words, you can take on the same amount of upside potential by leveraging, but with far less risk because you know the resistance has been breached at 29.5. So I think that's where my mind is focused. It's initially focused on gold as the first mover, as more of the sure thing, because it's done very well on rate hikes, and then silver is more of a trade. I'm looking at it. It's becoming an explosive asymmetric trade. I'm in. And obviously, I'm going to cover this on the newsletter. It's going to be a main focus. I think the miners in general, the balance sheets for these companies is phenomenal. I have never seen the miners more well run. They have trimmed everything that they can in order to be lean, profitable. A keyword, they're profitable. The yep. mining sector as a whole is profitable. And then if you look at the valuations, they're very, very attractive. There are companies whose gold resources in the ground trade for $4, $5, $6 an ounce. I mean, there are some very compelling opportunities. And again, the main thing is with anything that has to do with these commodities and natural resources is to take asymmetric bets. And what I mean by that is that these should not be the way that you run a portfolio. These should be very small, concentrated bets of 1 to 2% of your portfolio. Perhaps you make a few of them, but you can't let this overrun your entire portfolio, because this is not their purpose. This is not how they come in to a portfolio. The way you need to look at it is every few years, there's an opportunity to make a few years worth of returns in a few months. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to do this every year, which is a failing strategy, you just look at how the mining sector operates in boom and bust cycles. What you need to do is try to gain in a few weeks to months what other sectors do in 5 to 10 years. And that's how you do it. But it doesn't happen every day. So that's the idea behind it. And I think that is the healthy way to look at it.
Let me ask you one last question, Lior, about the shares. You know, we've all been sitting here for, it seems like, a decade thinking, okay, you know, there's going to be some M&A because – you know, the big major producers, the resources are depleting. They always got to find some new stuff. Now, finally, they're sitting on some cash. I mean, they're spitting out free cash flow like never before. And we're starting to see some of that, whether it was mergers like Agnico Eagle and Kirkland Lake, or just simply straight buyouts like Kinross and Great Bear. Do you think 2022 is set up to be a year of more of that kind of activity finally?
I think it all depends on where oil goes.
Oh, okay.
Oil is the primary driver of all of the expenditures for miners.
Yep.
Where oil is where they spend the bulk of their expenses, operating expenses. If oil goes up, then the price to mine goes up, and then they need more mining operations. The whole sector lights up with higher oil prices, and OPEC has done a poor job of pricing the right amount of inventory, because it's so hard during lockdowns, and you open up China, you close down China, you open up this. It's very difficult, and they've just not succeeded in doing that. And that's why we think that oil is going to go much higher. The second reason is that all governments hate oil. They simply hate it. And when governments try to put a cork on something and make it more difficult to extract it, it makes it more expensive. And that is something we're seeing. All of the ESG and all of the regulations make it super hard on oil producers, refiners, etc., the whole supply chain. So in 2022, if oil continues to go up, especially if it hits triple digits, I mean, it could really spark some incredible moves for gold and then for the miners. Again, you need to attract the speculators into this sector. Mm-hmm. If speculators feel good about oil, about energy, about resources, they will feel good about gold. And at the end of this, they will feel very well about the miners, because if you run through your algorithms, what is profitable, cheap, etc., if you put these metrics in and you're a Wall Street firm, then you see the GDX and GDXJ are very attractive. And obviously, they pull the entire sector with them.
Yep. That's some great stuff, Lior. That's an excellent point, one that I hadn't really considered. And I'm sure that's a different viewpoint that folks listening hadn't thought of as well. And again, if you put it all together and you think we're going to have a good year in commodities in general, all of that pulls us in the right direction. And if that is going to be the case, I just, like I always tell you, you need as much help as you can get, as many objective sources of information you can get. Again, Lior Gantz, founder of wealthresearchgroup.com. Again, Lior, what's that email address, or not email address, website address where they can see your portfolio?
First of all, if you go to the website, you see that top menu, there's a nice button that's called special reports. I think people will like those downloads a lot. It's basically a cumulative wealth library of PDF downloads from the past 5 years.
Okay.
And also, if you go to wealthresearchgroup.com/portfolio, that's where you can really access the portfolio real time.
Awesome. Awesome. Lior, thank you for your time. You have very interesting points of view, and I think everybody will have benefited by listening. We're now going to wrap up 2021. We look forward to an interesting 2022, and I look forward to visiting with you again sometime. We'll see how things are going.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.